For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature, us, were made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Now what that means is, God couldn't have fellowship with us if we hadn't been subject to vanity. Vanity here meaning the whole spectrum. We have to be subject to it in order that we can walk through it and see through it. We have to be subject to all the little things that you are and that we are in order that that can be tested, so that we can come to a position where when we are with God and when we speak with God and we speak with the brethren, that it's only on the basis of God, not on the basis of anything else. But because the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, we have been all our lives in bondage to corruption. Now, part of the bondage is, as we see something corrupting, we make a vow so it won't corrupt. I mean, that's what the whole ceremony of the Kol Nidre is about. And as Buck so aptly pointed out, it's not, there's no such three. It doesn't matter if you're going to vow not to kill again, or vow not to be a mass murderer again, or vow not to pick your nose again. They're all the same. All vows have exactly equal weight in the sight of God. Now, we've thrown the vows on the fire, but we did more than that. We declared any vow that we may not have seen or that may come up null and void as the dust of the earth. So that means that we spoke in agreement with God. It may not seem like anything, I mean, because we, the next day the same vow may come up again, but we don't understand the power of the Kol Nidre, which is and manifested the power of God. Now listen. For we know that the entire creation is groaning and travailing in pain together until now. If we could hear the sound of the universe, if our ears were attuned to if we could hear a frequency spectrum above the 20,000 cycles, we would hear the entire creation groaning in birth pain. It's like a woman that's going through labor pains. That's what the creation is doing. The entire creation is groaning and travailing, and that the word travailing there is a technical term. It means in birth. Travailing in pain together until when? Until now. And not only they, but ourselves, we're groaning also. That's why these idiots that run around and, you know, like the happy hunters, for happy for Jesus, they're lying. They're a lie. It says if you don't suffer with him, you won't reign with him. Now, how is the suffering? Now, my suffering today was weird. It was different than yours. My suffering today was, I mean, I'd been a fool if I don't accept the free trip, first class, chauffeured limousines, all of the bit, plus get a 3-carat diamond ring so a tire and I can get, you know, just makes it quicker for us to get married. That's not what I was thinking about. My suffering was whether or not you would understand. Because if you said, don't go, I wouldn't have gone. Or if you even give me the indication that you don't want me to go, I won't go. Now that's a tension that is the same tension that you're feeling about whether or not you were a good mother or whether or not you should make a vow. It's all the same. Or even to the extent, and I say this in fear and trembling, of Buck's mother in critical care. From God's standpoint, it's obviously not the same to Buck's mother or to Buck, but from the spiritual standpoint, it all is the temptation to put your eyes on yourself. And in my case, it was put my eyes on myself, vis-a-vis how you would respond. Now that's what we have to see. That's why we can't be surprised when the sufferings take place. Now in Tyra's case, today, the idea that a phone call, it was an off-the-wall phone call, I told her, I can't even remember what this girl looks like. But a girl called, it caused Tyra to feel insecure, jealous, doubt me, doubt everything. But somehow if it's spoken, if it's articulated, it can be transformed into an opportunity for a deeper love. Now in a mystery, I can't tell you how important this is. That's why it's vital that we prophesy, we say what's there, we never hold it in. Because the thing that's going to cause you the darkness is going to cause someone else the light. Now, I mean, it's to the total depths of every part of your being. It has nothing to do with your daughter. It has nothing to do with your mother. It has nothing to do with Tyra and I after the flesh. It has to do with this moment, this horizon. And the test, it has a million disguises. But it always is one test. Let's face it. You have, 99% of the time, I have no idea what to pray for. I hear somebody in trouble, I don't know what to pray for. I'm not some magic mystery man. I know the will of God in terms of the target, the end, but I don't know what's going on a day-to-day basis. The only thing that keeps me anchored is that I see the end all the time. But I don't know how to answer these questions about Buck's mother, or I don't know what to pray for. Do I pray for her healing? Is that what? Or do I pray that, I don't know. All I know is that God is working in us for a mystery that has to do where the whole friggin' universe is a womb. And if I confess the same thing as that mystery, then I'm in the flow. And all kinds of shit's going to happen to me, but it doesn't interrupt. My face is set like flint. My father died 3 months after I was a believer. He and I hadn't spoken for 13 years. I'm a big macho guy, I don't need my father, don't need anything. So I go to the funeral, and it's a family funeral. And, my family owns half of southern Minnesota, so they owned the church. They owned the preacher. And so I go downstairs after the meeting. They have the funeral, and it's in their own church, and they go across the street, daddy, and you come downstairs, and the Norwegian funeral, and there's a humongous thing under the church. All my relatives, some of them I've never seen before. So I'm sitting at the head table next to the priest. I lost it. I lost it, hysterically lost it. 3 months after I was a believer. It had nothing to do with me wanting, great spiritual reasons, wanting my dad to do this, or this. What I cried for, and the reason I lost it, was what might have been. Boy, did I lose it. Because because we had nothing. Now, some of you have fathers and mothers that, you know, oh my God, they're terrible, or they did this, or they did that. But they're all a vain shadow of what your mother, the New Jerusalem, the body, and your father, the heaven, all of us, the whole human race, is crying out for a mother to accept us without condition, and for a father to have all wisdom. Now, hopefully that's what we, I don't know what we have here. It seems to be that we have it, that we're accepted here without condition. Now, I know that we have a father with all wisdom, with all purpose, with all timing. He's got timing. We don't know a great deal about timing. Well, let's look and see what else he's got. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also. We're groaning and travailing. Ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? I mean, God could have made this a whole lot easier. God could have made this a whole lot friggin' easier. He could have set this idyllic thing in front of us that we could see and like, know, and then we could work towards it. But he's got this stupid way of doing stuff. I mean, I wouldn't have done it anything like this. He comes along and gives us a hope that we can't even articulate, much less see. Why? Because faith is the only commodity, the only thing that pleases God. And if we can ever see what it is that we're supposed to be, then we could get there without faith. Isn't that funny? I wouldn't have done it that way. I'm sure you all would have.
Yeah.
And I certainly wouldn't have let there be any pain and suffering for very selfish reasons. And I certainly wouldn't have allowed there to be any death. You know what I would have ended up? As the more I would define my conditions for creation, you know what I would have ended up as and you would have ended up as? Angels. Ballless. Castrated angels. Stupid little things that run around and do what I think they should.
And bored.
And a third of us would have been thrown out.
And I'd have been bored with it. But God made this exciting friggin' thing. It hurts. God, does it hurt. The ultimate high wire act. All right. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Isn't that the truth? You know what? You really all, you want to see this, you want to see perfection, right? So you won't have to hope anymore. Well, I mean, that's, you just want to be a fucking angel. God didn't want any angels. God got a lot bigger, stronger, better looking angels than you are. He's got one angel that, if you read about it right here, one angel wiped out 185,000 Midianites in one setting. Wow.
It was Harry.
No, it wasn't Harry. He doesn't want any angels. He wants you to want what he wants without him or me or anyone else telling you to. And the only way that's done is by suffering. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. Now watch. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit. Remember we've talked about there are three witnesses in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. There are three witnesses in earth. The blood, the water, and the Spirit. The three in heaven agree in one, the three in earth agree in one. We can, once we get those things to agree in three up there and three down here, we have a plug. That's all we're about as a body. We're bringing the New Jerusalem above in oneness with the New Jerusalem below. With the Matrona is what the Zohar calls it. And when that connection takes place, Katie bar the door. And you'll find that all things, well, let's watch. This, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now, we run around thinking we know what we should pray for. Tyra and I pray every night. Either if I don't see her, we pray by phone. That doesn't seem at all, it's not structured, it just comes on at a particular time, and it's neat. But I don't know what the hell to pray for. I mean, do you really know what to pray for? No, then what the hell are all these guys doing on television? They must be a whole lot more spiritual than we are.
The best prayer I've ever heard is take it, big guy.
Okay. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's kind of a neat thing. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now here we go again. I want him to make intercession for the saints according to the will of Holy Anthony. Now I'm sure all you guys don't want it according to the will of Buck or the will of Harry or the will of Patty or the will.
I just want him to send cash.
You just want him to send cash.
I just want to get it right.
All right. Now here we come. And we know that. And here where we are. This is where we are. We've got testings on the right of us and testings on the left of us. I'll tell you where we are. We're gonna hold it right there. Right now, we're interrupting a little bit. Is it all right to interrupt a little bit? We have this treasure. What?
It was dirty. Barbara said.
Chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. Dirt vessels is what it says. Earthen sounds too nice. Dirty vessels is what it is. We have this treasure in dirty vessels. Broken, dirty vessels. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. I mean, some of you are parents, and some of you are about to be parents for the second time. Can you imagine, have you ever, I'm sure you have, you've stopped and thought about the responsibility of raising that child?
I try not to think of it.
I mean, we're talking trouble.
I know. I mean, years back, I would have freaked out if I had a baby. It's great that I had her now because I don't really worry about.
Okay, but my point is that we are, now, you understand in the spirit, I have not just one little child. I have a whole bunch. Now, I don't want to think. I'm not. I don't think about that at all. I'm just like Patty. I don't think about that. I mean, if I had to think of just one, if and his name was Harry, it'd drive me insane.
You need curtains.
We are troubled in every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Now, what the hell would anybody want to be around for that kind of news for? That's kind of bad. Good news for modern man. Always delivered unto death. Death worketh in us. Why in the hell do we want to be part of this? We masochists? It goes on then and says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are carnal or temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, because of that, we can say this. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. But now here we got a problem. Because your mind right now is going to say to you, if you haven't thought of it before, well, I'm not the called, and therefore everything isn't working together for good. Because I'm not part of that equation. I'm just acting. Well, here, now it comes my job. My job is to tell you you're the called. And there, when I tell you you're the called, there will be a witness in your spirit to say, that's right. You can't know you're the called alone, because your mind will always overpower that identity of being the called. We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to the called according to his purpose. Now, we want to change that there one again, too. To the called according to our purpose. All right. For whom he did foreknow, past tense, he also did predestinate, past tense, to be conformed to the image of his son. Past tense. You're already conformed to the image of Messiah. You don't know it. Remember in Genesis, you were created in the image and likeness of God. The word image, as I've told you all, means it's the word that a glove is the image of a hand. So the word image means you contain God. Okay? In the Old Testament. But the word likeness doesn't mean that at all. The word likeness means to be, it means an exact copy. You were created in the image and likeness of God. That means, in time, you're the image, the container. Out of time, you're an exact copy. And all that life is about is for the image to connect with the likeness by the renewing of your mind. In order to do that, God tests everything as a body. You don't have to go through the same things I've gone through. I don't have to go through the same things you've gone through. Because God doesn't see us as a bunch of little separate sperm cells anymore. He sees us as a body. You got it? Now that's the biggest problem of all. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. The glorified there is what happened to Christ in the Mount of Transfiguration. Past tense. If you're called, then in the Spirit, you're already glorified. You've already been transfigured, and everything that's taking place in time is just to cause the mind to catch up with what's happened in the Spirit already.
Have you ever said this before?
I don't think so.
Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Christ was manifested in the flesh, but justified in the Spirit. He never once justified himself in the flesh. You, the human race, will always justify itself in the flesh in some way. But he's manifested, and you are manifested in the flesh. But you are justified in the Spirit. When that penetrates your hard heads, look out, world. You are already justified by God in the Spirit. Nothing can come against you. But everything will try. It's better. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely, that means without cost, without effort, freely give us all things? Freely. Well, I want it now.
And this is what it looks like.
Yeah. I want it now, and this is what it looks like. Every relationship you've ever had with a member of the opposite sex has been based on, I want it now, and this is what it looks like. God doesn't call that love, he calls that neuroses. God says, you haven't yet seen or have any idea of what is set before you. All I promise you, it is something that is so far greater than you can ever anticipate, that you hang in there. Whether it's in relationships, in a body, or in your relationship with the Father. But God will do all things to teach you the fear of God. You are on top of the gene pool. You are the pyramid that all of your relatives before you, all of your experiences, all of creation before you in your gene pool has caused to come to that point. You are now the cornerstone of that genetic pyramid. And everything that has existed in the past existed for you to be here now. At the experience, with the experience, and with the genetic makeup that you have. Exactly. But God will come along and do anything and everything to protect that moment that you might see the fear of God. Am I communicating? What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? It's impossible for anything to be against you. It's impossible. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now we come to the battle. The appearance of a battle, anyway. Now, Paul is taunting here. If you read the Greek, he's taunting. He says, he just got through saying that, right? And then he says, now who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Now we're talking about your mind now, mostly. Who's going to lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? This thing that condemned her today has about as much power as a pissant.
And that's exactly what Mitch told me. He said, Donnie, you're the only person that's condemning yourself.
Amen. And the one that's condemning you right now for your relations with your mother is the same thing. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of the Father, who maketh intercession for us. Who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But know in all these things we are far more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor sickness, nor poverty, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor Donna, nor Butch, nor Buck, nor Margaret, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which positionally is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The desired of the nations. Now this is the message that should be preached after the testing that comes about because of the kol nidre. Amen?
Amen.
I want you all to read, we're not going to have time to do it, but read Isaiah 29, Ezekiel 33, and Isaiah 57:14 to 58:14.
Ezekiel.
What was
it?
Would you
write,
mark that down, Butch?
Isaiah 29. Ezekiel 33. 33? 3:3. And Isaiah 57. Okay, can we, with everyone, now say again, affirm that all vows, whether knowingly or unknowingly, for now and in the future, that we've made by the world standards are right or not by right, that we declare null and void as the dust of the earth. And that we see that by that amen, you'll see that your mind will become a witness against itself. And the moment they arise, you can say, get thee behind me, Satan. Now for you, the feast of Yom Kippur is the rest of time. You're in that day. It's the day that Satan has no power to accuse. Amen?